Fathers call our meeting to order today on this beautiful day on April 15th. And we always kick our meetings off with a Pledge of Allegiance, if you would join me.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a full house today. I'm beyond excited to get through this really, really amazing agenda. Thank you guys for being here to show us our new brand. We have some exciting things with FCI and also some modeling for the terminal expansion. But before we dive into all of that, we have a new commissioner present with us today. Quint Shear is our county appointment. He is taking Tom Benton's seat. And would you like to say a few words about yourself, Quint?
I know many of you here. It's a pleasure to be on this commission. Fifth generation Western Colorado native, almost a native. I've spent most of my time in Grand Junction, on and off between here and Denver. I was in banking for 27 years. Was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to get out of banking. Took over the family company, Shear Inc. It's an oil and gas company. We also do some real estate development, and now I'm the sole owner of that. I'm also a pilot. Have a single engine Cessna. I own a hangar over in the GA area, so I'm very interested in the airport here. I'm on the GJET board. I'm on Westlake Coga's board. I'm also on the board for the state Coga. Colorado Oil and Gas Association, sorry, another one of those.
We have another acronym for you.
And also on Mesa County Search and Rescue. Happy to be here.
We are so glad to have you. And we have Thaddeus for, through June. Is that correct, Angela?
Yeah.
They had that wrong last month, so I want to clarify that. I'm thrilled to have you, as long as I can keep
thumbs up.
Thumbs up, that's right. Let's do introductions around the room. Do you mind doing staff?
Sure, yeah. Director of Finance and Admin, Sarah Minke. Executive Director, Angela Padalecki. Finance Manager, Jennifer Croker. Finance Specialist, Travis Portnier.
You guys wave, so.
Thank you. Director of Facilities, Ben Peck. Director of Operations, Dylan Hemmerline. Office Coordinator, Christina Warren. Term Operations Manager, Jim Reese, and then HR Manager, Board Clerk, Victoria
Hickman. Thank you. Tom Benson started that tradition of introducing everyone in the room, and I'm just going to apologize. I'm not going to be as good at it. Just not. I know we have folks from FCI here today. We've got Carrie, who developed our brand, and we've got Gensler, who's going to show some great things. InterVistas is here with us today, so we're thrilled to have you guys, too. Let's go ahead and move into the approval of our agenda as it's presented. Angela, do you have any changes to the agenda?
No changes.
Okay,
thanks.
Wonderful. I'll take a motion.
Motion approved. The agenda.
Perfect.
Second.
Wonderful. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Do we have any commissioner comments today?
I'll make a comment.
Yeah.
As I took a bite.
I know. My lunch all finished at the end of the day.
Mesa County is involved with Pitkin County and Eagle County in a study of feedstock here on the Western Slope for sustainable aviation fuel, possibly a processing plant. I mean, that's the grand goal, possibly a processing plant. But what we're doing right now is a feasibility study to study feedstock in the western region of Colorado, whether it be timber, methane from landfills, biomass from Prosigo, you name it, any type of feedstock. I mean, think of Back to the Future where you drop a banana peel, in the flux capacitor. But we're trying to see what exists and if it's viable on the Western Slope. So we have a presentation from the company that's doing it, May 6th, the Commissioner's Boardroom. You guys are welcome to tune in, come and join us, whatever you want. But they're going to tell you what we're doing, why we're doing it, how we're doing, and all that stuff. And again, we're working with Delta County as well. Okay. There's four counties involved in this kind of study to see how viable it is. Obviously, we want the airport involved, as if something does happen, I'm sure the airports on the Western Slope will be involved in some way, shape, or form. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
will put this invite on Board Vantage on board members' calendars so you have it for this optional meeting. They wanted to come and meet with the board if possible, and just schedules aren't working out with our board agendas. And so we thought the best way, talking with Todd Hallenbeck, we thought the best approach was just to invite you to the commission.
Just so I can hold the space in my calendar, do you have an idea on time?
9 a.m. It'll be first thing. I mean, we'll get through our minutes and stuff like that, but we'll be first thing at 9 a.m.
And is the kickoff the study, or is it the culmination?
It's a kickoff.
Okay, right on. Thank you for keeping us in the know. That's really cool. Any other questions for Cody on that? Do we have any citizen comments today?
No, we did not receive any citizen comments.
Hi, Alex. How are you? Glad to have you here. Right on. All right, then we're going to move into our consent agenda. I need a motion to approve that if everyone is comfortable with that consent agenda.
So moved.
Perfect.
Second.
Perfect. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Perfect. The motion carries. And then we can move right in to action. All right. Yes.
Can we just confirm that everyone online can hear us?
Yeah. Please unmute.
Oh, we're still muted and we have no video according to Dan.
Thank you guys.
This is a secret meeting.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't have my watch on, so I didn't get the
ding. Thank you. We need to restart. I'm happy to do that too.
I don't think we need to restart because you know the meeting takes place in person, and we've been recording, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Perfect. Just 1 minute while we troubleshoot that. Get it? Dan, can you hear us?
I can hear you and see you, so thanks for that. I don't think anyone online was able to hear the first 7 or so minutes of your meeting.
I'm sorry about that. Thank you for letting us know. And we have a guest, Paul Peterson. Who is Paul? Do you know?
Paul's in the jury help.
Wonderful. Thank you, Paul, for joining us. I'm so sorry that you weren't able to hear and see us those first few minutes. We did introduction.
Yeah, I just unmuted, so I'm available to hear you now.
Wonderful. Thank you. We're going to roll into our action items here now. We just went through our consent and our introduction. And so right now we're rolling into our action item to approve the Executive Director's Employment Agreement Amendment. May I get a motion to approve that, and then I'll add my comments during discussion.
So moved.
Wonderful. May I get a second?
Second.
Perfect. So I'm just going to roll in during discussion and just say a few comments. And normally we'll put this on our consent because we've had time to talk about this in executive session. However, this year was a really phenomenal year for the airport, and I think it's really important to call out what a phenomenal year it was. We received $41 million in grants this last year. That's the most ever we received, a record for our airport. Of that, $35 million were realized for our runway improvements, $3.6 million were new passenger loading bridges, which we'll talk about, I think, a little bit today. $1.3 million were for our tower upgrades, and $900,000 was for a new ARF truck, and I saw a picture of that as we kicked off the meeting, so that's pretty cool. Because of those increased grant awards, we're able to move up the runway expansion. And hopefully, you know, everything continues to roll smoothly, but that's a big deal. And that all of these things I'm mentioning are because of the amazing team here at the airport, but also under your leadership. And so I think it's important that we call that out. We were able to get two former staff back, including Sarah Menge. We're so happy about that. We welcomed Breeze Airlines, who began their service to SNA and SFO. SFO was a really, really cool thing because we were able to amend that contract within 3 weeks for the SCASI. Get SkyWest back here, which we're so excited to have them back. Have zero interruption with Allegiant, which was a really, really exciting thing because of Breeze Airway. I mean, the list goes on. I'm not even done, you guys. And you all know this. We've been talking about what a cool year this was. You were appointed to the Governor's Aeronautical Board, and I know you hate this, but I have to say it. a really big deal, a gubernatorial appointment to a board. And then we received our best FAA and TSA compliance audits in the last 20 years, which is really exciting. And finally, we achieved our busiest year yet with 571,000 passengers. So normally I wouldn't call it out like this, but because it was so exceptional, I think it was worth having that, yeah, in front of all of you. So cheers to the staff for helping make that happen. Cheers to Angela. Thank you for your amazing work. So I will, it does not need to be roll call, so I will call all those in favor. Please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Perfect. The motion carries unanimously. Thank you. So then we will move on to our aeronautical use and ground lease with Integrity Health. And I'm going to recuse myself from this conversation. St. Mary's is a client, SCL Health and Mountain Health are a client.
All right, Wendy, I'll pick it up. Sarah, any staff presentation or comments on this item?
Sure. So this might sound a little bit familiar to you guys, and the reason for that really is that this lease that we're proposing today will actually replace the lease that you authorized the transfer of in March. Actually, I have a visual that will be helpful here. So in March, we authorized a transfer of the lease property for this cover on this side, and then it's adjacent to this undeveloped property. So this new lease will replace that transferred lease and then incorporate that undeveloped parcel that's adjacent. We really think this is highest and best use of this parcel. Instead of having two smaller ones, it allows for some larger development for Integrity Health, which plans to put their care flight group in here. So the new lease space is about 48,000 square feet. A couple just highlights from the lease. We are following mostly in form that standard aeronautical ground use lease that you guys also looked at in March. We're negotiating some final language with Integrity Health as this is a little bit larger and new development, which we haven't had out at the airport for a while. So the terms include a 42-year term, which matches the transferred term, but is a little bit longer than the standard one. But we also think that that matches the value of the investment that they're putting in the new building. And then just for the finance people in the room, the total annual rent on this new combined lease space will be about $9,900 per year. That's the annual lease. I don't know if there's any other questions from the group or anything to add.
Any commissioner comments, questions? Any public comments, questions? Moving online. Hearing none, I'll ask for a motion for item B, action item B.
I move that we authorize the executive director to finalize and execute the aeronautical use ground lease between Integrity Health and the Airport Authority in substantially form presented.
Second.
All right, second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
I think I'll say aye. I think I forgot to say that. Motion carries.
Awesome. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Wonderful. We'll move into adopting our new airport logo. And I know we have Carrie with Gensler. Was she planning to present a little today?
Yes.
Wonderful. Carrie, thank you.
So I've been working with Angela and team over the past couple months to develop the brand for GJT, and we are going to review that today. As you see, this is the existing brand, and we really try to play off of elements in this brand to make us transition over to something new, keeping Mount Garfield as the prime focal point in the mark. This is the brand family that we have developed, and we're initially showing it in black and white so we can see how it'll work well without color, and we do need to use this in applications that are in grayscale or in very small applications that won't pick up color very well. The top row is showing the horizontal option, which will mainly be shown at the primary entry at the roundabout to the airport. The middle row is more of an icon that will be standalone, that can be used on various applications throughout branding as far as the merchandise and or vehicular applications. And then the bottom row is an additional mark, similar to the second row, that, again, is just a tertiary mark, and also with the call letters of the airport. Something to note with the GJT letters that were inspired by airplane wings, and so the font has been modified to really draw attention to the tapering out of the letter forms. Next, this is a grayscale application, again, just showing how it'll print in black and white if it were in color and then printing in black and white. So we have these options available to us. Moving into the color palette, we really were inspired by, of course, the landforms throughout Grand Junction and the Grand Valley, and then the blue skies that we all love in Colorado, and then the navy really to offset the blues and think about like the night sky. And so when we're looking at the whole family together, it really pulls together all the color harmonies in a really nice palette. And instead of using black, we use that navy on the letter forms. These are examples of one color logo applications for those instances that there may be. We are showing them with the line work on the left, far left column. There is the line work showing the striations in Garfield, and then we are taking them out on the right two columns, and depending on how small the logo gets is when that decision will be made of lines or no lines within the application. And then these are just a few nods to merchandise applications with, you know, the hats, the uniforms, again, things that you'll see branded around the airport and how this will be used. So in this version, we're showing the warm tones from the color palette, you know, with the brown and the natural earth tones of the hats. And then this second concept is using that navy, and it really makes the other two colors pop. Also keeps it darker for when things are getting dirty outside or uniforms are being worn outside. Sorry.
Any questions or any questions or comments for Carrie?
I have a question for staff, I think. What is the anticipated cost of changing all these items at the airport to this new logo?
That's a good question. And I don't have a clean answer to that. So the switch from the logo will trigger implementation. And so on a small scale, items like clothing, obviously those are replaced routinely. And so, you know, we'll just draw a line and start using this. And then, you know, at some point in the future say, hey, we'll only be using this brand. When it comes to items like the sign at the roundabout, we're working with the design team on ideas for that as part of our signage upgrades, and so we don't even have cost estimates on that. So it's unclear what the cost is, but the brand hasn't been updated in 20 plus years. It's something that we as a staff and, you know, collectively with the board wanted to update for a long time, and this really was an extension of that terminal visioning work that was done, kind of branched this off. And so that's how we got here. The signage project that will replace all interior signage and massively increase the amount of interior signage. That was really the trigger for us to get this branding work done now, because we want to make sure that that new signage has updated branding on it, because we want to minimize throwaway costs. So we've been thinking more from that perspective and not the total cost for implementation, because we do think that the implementation will take some time to be fully executed.
And what is the source of funds for this implementation?
Airport revenues.
Okay. And I guess I would suggest that you actually put in an implementation timeline so the old logo is not hanging around too long, so we don't have, you know, a couple of vehicles that had the old logo 3 years from now.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about that as a staff, about what we think is most realistic, and also opportunities where, and you know, as we get towards the end of the year, if we still have money remaining in our budget, it's not use or lose. You know, we're a user fee funded facility, so we're not funded by taxpayers, but the way we budget with our airline partners, it's actually easiest on all of us if our expenses are pretty close to our budget, because we true up with them. And so we're identifying opportunities to kind of flip switches, if you will, when it comes to brand implementation. If we face a situation where we have additional I don't know how that microphone just grew legs. But yeah, I think that's a great idea, and we will be coming forward with that. You know, we didn't feel comfortable, you know, really moving forward with any sort of conversation about, you know, putting this before the full board and getting your approval, because this is a big decision. I do want to make sure the board knows that it's been our Terminal Visioning and Expansion Committee, which includes Chair Marshall and Commissioner Schrader on that committee, who have been working on this. So there has been that input. And I really can't phrase enough how valuable their input has been. We're so lucky to have these very design-minded people on the team. Countless times of the staff are like, we can't even tell the difference, but they could and would give just this incredible.
So how far are we looking at till we get to the terminal refresh? No, I mean till it's completed.
So by the end of the year, the terminal refresh will be complete.
And okay, and is that like a good demarcation for this logo as well?
I think for the most part, I mean, there's certain elements like that sign up on the Horizon Drive roundabout. Mm-hmm. That's a really important and iconic sign, and so we want to make sure that we take whatever time is necessary to update that sign to make sure that it retains it kind of has multifaceted value, because it is iconic, it's something that's used as a marker for the airport, but it's also, it confirms for people who might not be familiar with the airport that they are in fact at the airport and at the right place. And so it's this balance between like the wayfinding element and the art. Mm-hmm. And so like that sign, I have no idea what the timeline on that might be, because it depends on what decisions are made. But when it comes to clothing, the interior, I think by the end of the year for implementation is a really good time.
Angela, I think, mentioned a really important word that sparked this local design, and that was wayfinding. So we started into the terminal expansion, and it became apparent that wayfinding has been a need for a really, really long time. I think there was work done previously, but it wasn't work that could be implemented based on, I think, the process that was went through and the timeliness of it. And so we engaged Gensler to do some of that wayfinding, and we realized very quickly that we just didn't have a really good set of rules to go by, and we only had a vertical logo. So that logo is only vertical, it can't be stacked. And so all of a sudden, as we were just solving for really simple needs, it was like, oh, we have another layer of an onion that we need to peel to meet this. So I think Angela's point is wonderful. I've been a part of rebrands where, like Intermountain Health is a great example, right? Where the sign package is monstrous and everywhere and specified building by building. This is so great where we will have the luxury of implementing it really strategically and as budget allows, I think, because it is smaller and we have that terminal refresh. So I hope that's helpful too.
It is. So we'll kind of have a style sheet for all this stuff. It's always refer back to the style sheet. Yeah.
Yes,
or
yeah,
whatever y'all call it. Yeah.
We'll have brand guidelines for the identity part, and then we'll have a style guideline that the signage is using too for the interior part. So it all together as a whole. So when I mentioned the roundabout signage, it'll be it'll marry well with materials. Like it probably won't be in colors what we're sending. It'll be in the materiality of the refresh.
Yeah, I think it does bear mentioning that specifically with the roundabout sign, and then also on the front of the airport, there was a lot of consideration when we were considering design ideas around the cost of implementation and what parts of the existing infrastructure can we use whether or not that's appropriate, and so we've really been thinking about the cost implications throughout the whole process.
Yeah, we're in a great position to be proactive, to create a brand that really mirrors what we're doing in the terminal expansion and our identity that we're creating with that visioning. So it's really a fun and exciting time. Any other questions for Carrie? Thank you so much for saying yes to this project. You were a great fit. I know we're not done with you yet, but thank you for coming in front of this board and providing a brand that really represents who we are. And then you can see it right away and know it's an airport. And I think there's a lot of value in that too. Anything
I cannot commend Carrie enough. She has been a wizard with this. I mean, her ability to just understand what we need and the community, and just, it's really hard, frankly, to impress Lindy and Thaddeus from a design perspective, and they were like,
sorry,
wow, and so excited. Not because they're like, you know, anything short of brilliant when it comes to design on their own. And so it's just been so fun. So thank you, everyone. And I want to mention too, the reason why we are coming to the board at this meeting is because the airport turns 95 in June, and we'd really like to incorporate the fresh new branding in all of our celebrations, and we really need to have the branding now in order to meet those timelines. So.
Thank you. Well, if discussion is over, I would love to entertain a motion to approve the new airport logo.
So moved.
Thank you, Commissioner Davis. A second?
Second.
Perfect. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Perfect. Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you.
The motion carries. All right. Next up, we have Resolution 2025-004, Rates and Charges. This is a roll call. Angela, are you going to be presenting this one, the Rates and Charges?
I think so.
Oh, you are, Sarah? Wonderful. Thank you.
So I will jump right in. Within the Rates and Charges proposed change, there are actually two items, but the first is really just an update on the CPI increase for the rental car service area. So the quick turn service lots that they run over there, according to that lease agreement, is subject to an annual CPI increase, which is stated in Rates and Charges. It's only about a $2,800 increase. So that one is in there and part of this, but not where I wanted to spend our time today. Really the big one that we want to talk about is increasing parking rates and adjusting the free period. So we thought it would first be helpful to kind of orient a few things because we have a lot going on within the terminal projects. We were talking about a couple other interior projects later today. But when it comes to parking, the Garber team right now is working on the design for this blue space kind of in the left-hand side of your screen here. Mm-hmm. That is that planned expansion. We know we need additional capacity. We have exceeded capacity even after we've done a recent expansion in 2023. Our current parking contract is also up at the end of March of next year. So we've been working with our consultants in Intervistas who helped us run some analysis on these rates as well. And we really want to modernize the contract that we have, the equipment that we have out there, which will also give us additional options for parking types and lines of service, if you will. The last thing that we're super excited about is we also were awarded the grant from Excel. I know this is something that came out of Cody's relationship.
Congratulations.
We're pretty excited about. So we're really working with FCI and Gensler on some design, and we're running some financial analysis to see exactly what that project size looks like. But we would likely want to bring at least a design request, possibly construction. I don't know that we're quite to all those pieces yet, but we'll bring that at the May meeting is what we would like to do. But with all of these projects, I mean, we know we need to have some additional funding sources. And I also just wanted to kind of orient some of you that are new. We've actually only increased pricing two times in the last 10 years. In 2016, the rate increased to 10, and then in 2022, effective in November, we actually increased it from 10 to 12. We did a pretty thorough analysis with Intervistas at that time, and we actually considered even $13 and $14 increases at that time, but we felt like that was a pretty big jump from where we had existed from 2016. So we kept it fairly conservative, which really just caught us up to that point in time. It didn't really account for any future increase in costs. So just to orient us a little bit, since 2022, CPI has been about a 9% increase for Western Colorado. Our actual airport operating budget costs are up about 29%. We have seen increases for most other business lines. Just one example is airline rates and charges have gone up about 30% over the same time period. So with all of this in mind and kind of keeping that balanced fee structure, which really helps us maintain and keep down our airline rates and charges, which will also help with the service aspect. We really think it's important to increase parking as well and kind of keep that balance in there. So a couple things that we looked at as well, just to provide some additional information, is we did look at local hotels, both on Horizon Drive and downtown, are charging for parking right now. That nightly fee is anywhere from $10 to $12 a night, depending on the brand and the location. We are competing with them for that parking. And we did pull in Montrose. As we know, some of the people here we have in those leakage studies are driving to Montrose, and we've talked about that. They actually increased to $14 for their close-in parking very shortly after we increased to our 12.
It was like a week after.
And Denver has actually just recently announced that they will be raising parking rates again as well. So I think this, we're not alone in this, is what I wanted to just talk about. I know it's always kind of a tough thing to increase fees, but I think it's a balanced approach.
The other item we looked at, and Gavin helped really dig into this data, and I thought this was really interesting. When we look at that free time period, the last time we changed rates, the free increment was changed to a 20-minute free. But what we really started looking at, when we look at transactions, we have over 100,000 parking transactions in a year, and almost 55% of those are less than 2 hours. So that's our meter greeters, our drop-off and pick-up, which we do talk about. We have a little bit more of that, just given our proximity. Travelers from Delta or Meeker or somewhere else outside of the region that are coming, we do tend to have maybe a little bit more pick-up drop-off than, say, like a Denver. It's not very convenient to walk your loved one in and drop them off. But it's a guest service and an experience that we really do want to provide. We also have talked about we have congestion on the curb right now. And with the expansion in parking, we have additional space in that parking lot, which is a great place from a safety perspective, and just to encourage people to go park and wait. So we really just looked at this duration to say, even though it makes up 55% of the transactions, it's only about 3% of our annual revenue, and we think it's an amenity that we want to provide. So I kind of have numbers for you on what that is, but I felt like this was really interesting to kind of see what that behavior is in our parking, and this is based on detailed transactions for 2024. So the most common number of parking days is our 4 days. So your business travel, Monday through Thursday, your weekend travelers are kind of hitting that 4-day mark. It's the most
I just appreciate you calling out that 20-minute free and showing us some data behind that. We've talked about our brand being ease and convenience, and that we want to really keep that part of our brand. So thank you for just showing us the data on that piece. Yeah.
And I think when we first looked at that, we had a capacity issue where we needed the short-term parkers not to take a spot from a traveler. But at this point, now that we're expanding, we do have more room over there, and that's ideally where we would like to have them. So that's a really important piece for us. It'll also increase that throughput at the exit booths right now. With that expansion project, we aren't adding booths initially, but if half of our traffic doesn't have a fee and have to wait and swipe their credit card, that'll improve that outflow as well, that we have a little bit more jammed up right now in that 20 minutes to 2 hour segment.
Yeah.
So dollars, which, you know, speaks to my heart here. when you look at parking revenue per passenger, I found this very interesting. Gavin and I worked on this together. We keep this analysis in another airport. The blue line is 2022. We did increase those rates effective November, but this represents an average revenue per passenger by month. And I just think it's really incredible to kind of see that jump. And then we do have these trends. So it's higher in that January timeframe where there's probably more local traffic going out. And you may have seen this in the finance packet where parking revenue exceeded, rental cars was under. So it's just that mix of the type of passenger that we're seeing there. But we've really seen this jump in that revenue per passenger. We know this could change some behavior. Someone's going to choose an Uber, choose a family member drop off instead. But we really have seen continued strong demand since we've changed those rates. So we'll continue to monitor this and do this analysis.
Yeah.
And then the annual impact that we're looking at, again, we took that 2024 transaction data. If we pull out that 20-minute to 2-hour portion that we're proposing to be free instead of just the first 20 minutes, it's about $88,000 in revenue that we would have given up in 2024 if that behavior had existed. By increasing our daily max to $14 a day, if we held that 20-minute increment, on the high end, we think it would have gotten us $372,000, but adjusting for some change in behavior could have been closer to $279,000. And then that last line is really our recommendation and what's reflected in the proposed changes for you, is increasing to $14 a day max with 120 minutes free on the first day. So we think that revenue impact could be anywhere from $207,000 to $276,000, that increase of maybe 9 to 12% based on 2024 transactions. That'll increase even more as we have increases in passenger traffic, but just as kind of that anchor of what we think that impact could be. And Gavin, I don't know if I missed anything that you wanted to add, if I butchered any of your analysis.
Not at all. I'm just prepared to answer any questions that may come from the board or others.
Well, thank you for being here. Any questions or comments from the board?
Well, I really like how we're talking about it. It almost feels like a little bit of a give and take where we do need to increase the rate to match all the other rising costs.
Mm-hmm.
But then to give back, to give folks time and place and unload the curb right in front of the building sounds amazing. I mean, that's kind of a nod to the community.
Agreed. There's some nice balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a couple questions. Thank you for explaining the 20-minute versus 2-hour. That was a very important component to this. And I just for reference in the actual document on page 251, it looks like we still have 20 minutes on terminal parking. So we may need to update that table. Just double check it. Do we have signage out there for the waiting parking that says right now 20 minutes or something? And are we going to upgrade that to 2-hour?
Yes, and actually with the signage package, one thing Angela and I talked about a lot too that we think would be beneficial is to add some of that on the curb to direct people once they're at the curb to know you can turn in, because even myself as a local, I've never used it before, but there is an entrance to the parking lot
right.
That is right off of that front drive. So we want to help direct people.
Yeah, we really need to enhance the wayfinding there so people know, even if they're pulling a ticket, they're not going to get charged.
Yeah.
I think there's a big, I'm not quite getting it. It says it's free by pulling a ticket, which brings me to my next comment. When we're looking at the parking redesign, I know it's really a parking expansion, but is there an opportunity and is there space to actually get these front spaces just out of the parking lot so they don't have to pull a ticket and they don't have to go through the exit booth? If there's a way to make that work, I just don't know. That would actually make a lot more people go into those spaces, I think. And so maybe we just need to look at how much space is there, and if we could somehow make that work.
I like that suggestion. I think initially we'll have to look at, I think, the kind of policing of it, if you will, or just the monitoring, which right now we don't have to do with the ticket. Like
that's
that great. Creates that ease, but it's a very fair point of the accessibility. So I think it's certainly something we can take as a note to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you touched on it just briefly, and I had heard from Alasta that they'd gotten the nod on that those grant dollars. Where are we at now? I didn't really follow that. As far as are we in a process for some bids from FCI or what's the?
So FCI has done some initial cost estimating for us so that we can put together the estimated financial impact so we can figure out how to fund it really. Because it does have quite a few moving parts and pieces in there with eligible IRS grants, refundable tax credits, the grant itself from Excel, energy offset. So there's a bunch of moving parts and pieces, but we do have estimates from FCI. We do have to submit a response by May 23rd is what I want to say off the top of my head. It's right around there. And Lance is putting together what we need to update some electrical engineering estimates for that. But we were trying to understand how big is that project, because then we also have to pay in to Excel a deposit based on the number of kilowatt hours that we're estimating that we're generating. So that's the piece we're putting together right now. What will likely come to the board within May is an approval of what that deposit is based on the planned project and likely design. But again, the timing of getting all that together is a little quick.
It seems like everything was very driven around dates and deadlines that all seem to be approaching pretty quick. So bravo to everybody involved in getting that done. As far as if we were to move forward and if everything happens as we hope it might, as far as bids, as far as the costs, I know there's a big cost associated with where the tie-in to the system would be, which I understand is on the north-facing side of the terminal versus the parking lot side. We're looking at 2026, 2027. When would we, realistically see forward movement on actual construction?
I think the timeline that we're working off of right now is as part of the Excel grant process. In order to get back a portion of our deposit that we pay in, they do want the project completed within 18 months of that submission. So we're targeting, which actually works well for us because it would be late 2026 before Thanksgiving. So that's what we've been working with FCI on, but that is, again, that timeline with construction and everything else we're doing. We're also trying to pair it with this expansion because it would be difficult to close down that much parking. We wouldn't have spaces for everyone without the expansion. So we're trying to work those projects in tandem, but I think that's kind of the estimate that we're working off of would be Thanksgiving 2026. But Angela, please correct me.
No, I think that's perfect. But what I think would be helpful is for you, because you've worked so hard on this, is for you to just summarize kind of in order of size, those various programs, including this grant, you know, that we believe we qualify for and are going to help cover the cost of this project and the project, the estimated project cost.
Sure. So, as I mentioned, there's a few different components. So within the total project cost, the largest value actually of the project is from an IRS refundable tax credit, which becomes a little bit unique for us. We do not file a tax return. It's not something that we've done ever. So we've worked some of our tax professionals to understand, because it's refundable and it doesn't offset tax expense that we're generating, we do get that back dollar for dollar. The calculation of how much that is based on a number of different factors within the project. You have to meet certain targets for a level of apprenticeship inclusion, wage rates. There's bonuses, if you will. You get an extra 10% if we're in a community solar garden. That might not be the correct term. But there's a number of components. We're estimating it's about 40% of the project cost, which does have to get segregated between regular covered parking and the solar. That's the largest value.
Is the tax credit marketable?
I'm not sure, honestly.
Because I know a lot of time, I don't know in this case, but a lot of time, the energy tax credits, you just can sell them to banks or whoever is paying a lot of tax. So that may be an option worth exploring rather than going through all these gyrations to collect all these little bits and pieces.
That's a good point. And one thing we are folding into our overall estimate is the cost of the professional fees to work with a tax firm to do the cost segregation study to prepare the filings, because there is quite a bit of work. There's also quite a bit of monitoring that goes on as far as the, in order to get the wage credits and those pieces of that tax credit, that's a really important component. But that actually has the most value, and that's not tied to the Excel grant that we were awarded. The Excel grant that we were awarded will generate, I believe it's $20 per kilowatt hour for every kilowatt hour generated. Lance is nodding, which is helping me to make sure I have all my numbers correct here. So that piece is, we were estimating at, if we covered one section, it's probably a value of about $340,000 to
$350,000. $20 a kilowatt hour?
Per kilowatt hour generated.
Not megawatt hour?
$20. Not megawatt hour, it's converted.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I mean, you know, we're paying Excel 20 cents a kilowatt. Anyway.
We might have a zero. We might have a decimal place. But I know we have a tight agenda, so I don't want to get I don't want to get too into the details on that piece of it, but that grant period lasts over 20 years. That 40% tax credit we would receive the year that we filed the return, so it's really within basically a year of completion. So we're working out the cash flow details of all of that, but I think that's where we're trying to figure out this funding source and where it's coming from and when it's coming from. Because the other component, as it goes to parking rates, is also the ability to differentiate that product and charge a premium for that covered parking. Because that's probably one of the largest, outside of the 40% tax credit, benefits of this project. The solar grant is a piece, but we also, that's where we think the smaller project makes sense right now to see how well it's utilized. Because that tax credit, unless there's tax law changes, which there could be, that will still exist. Even though we wouldn't get that component from Excel for the grant piece, we could still take advantage of other revenue sources there. But we kind of want to understand this on maybe a smaller scale first before we don't want to overbuild.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that back around to this. And it's so nuanced and it's so complicated. And I know you have been researching it nonstop. Did you have anything you wanted to add? It looked like you.
I think Sarah's got it.
Man.
Hey, Sarah, there's one more savings, and that's the actual energy reimbursement outside of the grant. So
yes.
You get a chunk of money also in that energy reimbursement.
Yeah.
You put those four revenue sources together, it gives you a chance to make it worth your value. If any of those four go away, it reduces the viability of it as those monies go.
So the grant is great, it's kind of a cherry on top, but I want to make sure the board knows, you know, the timeline right now is being driven by this grant award, and we do have to put down a non-refundable deposit by the middle of May. We anticipate that deposit's actually, we're calculating the final numbers, we expect it's within my purchasing authority, but I want to come before the board because it's really the first big step towards a much bigger project. We expect this project will cost about $6 million in today's dollars, ignoring tariffs. So, you know, it's a lot of money, but we think that right now it looks financially feasible, really excited about it. But I do want to make sure the board knows that most of the financial advantages associated with this project exist outside of this grant. This grant, you know, provides us about an extra $350,000 over the 20-year period. So perfect timing for us to add that cherry on there, and really appreciate all the work Sarah and Lance have done to make this happen, and Isaac for being part of the team and bringing this to our attention and making sure that we got this snuck in there just in time. And of course, Cody for connecting us. So thank you.
Yeah, great, great project. Thank you for all of your work on that. Is there any other question before I move us to a roll call vote?
Okay.
Since it's a resolution, we have to do roll call. So Commissioner Davis, actually,
I need a motion.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, I propose a motion to adopt resolution number 2025-004. Rates and charges effective June 1st, 2025 to update the rental car service area annual rate for CPI increases, increase the terminal public parking lot maximum daily rate and fee-free parking period.
Thank you, Vice Chair West. Can I have a second?
Second.
Perfect. Now I'll do that roll call vote. Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Commissioner Kennedy?
Yes.
Commissioner Kleinman?
Yes.
Commissioner West?
Yes.
Commissioner Scheer?
Yes.
Perfect. Commissioner Schrader?
Yes.
And the chair votes in approval as well. So the motion carries. All right on time. We have the terminal interior refresh project up next. I'm assuming that Rebecca, you'll be giving us that presentation. Is that correct?
I think Sarah and I will probably cover it.
Okay, perfect, no problem.
Lindy,
yeah, she can speak to it.
I recuse myself from that vote.
Okay.
Because Tucker works for FCS.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, thank you, Quint. So let the record state that Quint is recusing himself. His son works for FCS.
We can start. Whichever. I'll go ahead. So the board, I feel bad, and my apologies that we've had to break up what is really a more comprehensive project into different pieces. Because we have access to different funding types and different colors of money, we're trying to be really efficient in using whatever the best, you know, the most limited money on each type of project. So what you have before you in this terminal interior refresh project, this goes along with the furniture approval that you had, I think it was last month, and you know, there was a prior furniture approval to that. So really our goal is, with at the same time we're replacing these passenger loading bridges in the upper boarding area, that we are refreshing the entire secure side of the terminal to really reflect that terminal visioning work that was completed earlier this year, I guess late last year, early this year, that will lead into broader terminal expansion. And so this is the last task order associated with this. This work is actually eligible for grant funding under what we used to call Bill, now is IIJA funding, basically federal funding that we have access to that funds 95% of the project. And so this was peeled out. Big thanks to FCI for going through the pain in the butt of getting this work bid out in a way that's compliant with that grant funding. But what we'll be doing is replacing the gate agent desk. So here is an example there of what the gate agent desk will look like in between gates 2 and 3 to reflect the updated branding. It will also replace the carpeting and the flooring that hasn't been, you know, all that flooring that hasn't been replaced yet, most of it on the secure side. And it'll also add water to the bar in the upper boarding area. Believe it or not, they don't have water right now, so they have to actually bring the ice up there. They have to bring the water, and so this will add water in the drains and the appropriate flooring there, so we're really excited about this project. Dollar-wise, it's not huge. It's $750,000, but particularly because this year and next year, our IIJA grants are funded at 95%, not just 90%. We're eager to just get the funding we have access to, those entitlement funds, what you'll hear us refer to them as. We want to get those drawn down as long as the bite is big enough, and this felt like a big enough project to make that worth it.
Absolutely. Any questions?
I do, just with regards to the grant. So it's not competitive, it's entitlement.
It's entitlement.
And how much do we have, like a balance or something of entitlement funds just kind of waiting for us to bring projects?
Yeah, good question.
And also, how are those computed?
So, great questions, and I'll answer them all simultaneously. So, 2022, so basically when the building infrastructure law was passed, huge bill, tiny bucket for airports. Within that tiny bucket, every drop is almost separated out. One of the, you know, little cups in there, it allocated $15 billion to airports over the course of 5 years, allocated in entitlement grants. that $15 billion translates for us into about $2 million a year. It follows an entitlement formula that kind of gives you a base, and then based on your volume of passenger traffic relative to the total system, that's how it gets calculated. But 2.2 in 2022, that funded loading bridges. 2.2 in 2023, that funded loading bridges. There's about $600,000, I think, left on that one-ish. So we'll round and say $500,000 left from 2024. In 2025, we have access to $2 million. 2026, we have access to $2 million. So overall, access to about $11 million in entitlement grants, of which we've spent about $3.5 million. This will bring us over that $400,000 mark. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's great.
It was a great question, and I'm glad you're asking him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love OPM.
OPM.
OPM. Other people's money.
Oh my god. But we have fun. And I'm just gonna call out to Dan Myers here. He was appointed the city seat, and he's attending 2 months before he's officially joining. So thanks for being here to listen to all these questions. It's a really comfortable board. I told Quentin he can ask questions. I always appreciate these questions. So you can learn and catch up. Any other questions on this interior refresh? It's going to be amazing. Timing, will you remind me when this is going to...
So this will happen over the summer.
That's
fine. So I can just cover this now. I was going to cover it in my report. But yesterday, the passenger loading bridge replacement for Gate 3, that project started. So that gate is closed, Gates 2 and 3. I'm happy to report that on day 2, we remain on schedule. and that is expected to take about 2 months. So in June, that passenger loading bridge will open. And we'll switch to gate 4 and that passenger loading bridge replacement. I mean, it's a close to 2 months timeline on those projects. This project will get woven in there because, you know, we have a stack of projects happening simultaneously. If we looked at a Gantt chart, which would make your eyes hurt on this, you know, we have to make sure the IT room lines up with these desks going in so that the airline IT folks are only coming out one time, and then the carpet gets put in place at the right time. And so all of this is happening simultaneously. It's Lance's job to make sure that it gets done at the right time, and I trust him on that. And so it's really this summer.
Assembled at the same time that the carpet is going in.
Yeah. Well, and that's where, like, I mean, they have been, along with Gensler and the SCI team, they have done such a good job thinking of those logistics. Like, the furniture, as an example, the furniture contract actually has them assembling everything off-site and storing it so that, you know, the night we can have a move-in and flip a switch. So I don't have all the details yet on what is happening when, but I want the board to know that we are being really mindful of the operational impact and the guest experience throughout all of this, as are our partners at FCI.
Mm-hmm. And the community will have something beautiful to look at this summer, too. So.
And I think just to tag on to that, too, and a reminder, one of the grant applications that was in the consent agenda is for this project. So the timing, we are asking for that approval so we can optimize the schedule because it is an entitlement. We're able to start ahead of that, but we are still working with the FAA to finalize and get final approval on this. So once we get their blessing, we just wanted to get this approval now so we don't hold up that timeline. So we're trying to set all those dominoes in the right order. So just wanted to clarify that as well. We're hoping to be able to bring that grant in May. Worst case scenario, I would imagine June, but we're really trying to get it with our partners.
And I also want to point out that with the IIJA funding, this, you know, is on your AIS, but I just recognize this gets confusing. So the FAA is funding 95% of the project, so we're responsible for 5%. CDOT is funding half of our match. So this project costs us 2.5% of $751,000.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
We can do that later. Yeah. Just to keep us on time, because we do have a packed agenda, and we still have an executive session afterwards. I'm going to, if there are no further questions, so I'm going to call for a vote, or call for a motion, please.
All right, we're on item E, right?
Yes, item E.
Okay. I move to authorize the executive director to execute a task order with FCI under ongoing general contractor contract for terminal interior improvements after receiving approval from the FAA for an estimated project cost of $751,000, including owner's contingency.
Thank you, Commissioner Kennedy. May I have a second?
Second.
Perfect. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. I'm really excited to see that happen this summer. It'd be beautiful.
This one will be very fast.
Awesome.
This work is happening at the same time as all the other work we just talked about.
Okay.
It's required in order for us to do all the other projects.
Okay.
From the fire department. And the eligibility of this when it comes to grants is really mixed and complicated. Given the size of it, we don't think it's worth it to use grant funding. So this is therefore funded and included in our budget.
Wonderful. Any questions? Thank you. Yeah, this is a no-brainer. And you guys have already shared with us about this, so thank you for prepping us on this. If there are no questions, may I have a motion?
Motion to authorize the executive director to execute a task order with FCI under the on-call general contractor contract for fire panel and suppression system improvements at an estimated project cost of $500,000, including owner's contingency.
Wonderful. Thank you, Commissioner Feynman. Second?
Second.
Perfect. We'll give that one to Commissioner Davis. all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. The motion carries. Next, we have a resolution around the CDOT internship grant, which is a really, really neat program. And I know it is a resolution, so you have to bring it in front of us, but I would love that you get to bring it in front of us.
Thank you. Sarah, you can go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, we have participated with CDOT in this grant program for multiple years now. Really, the state wants to promote aviation and positions in aviation. So what we have offered is actually two positions. One is in our operations team with Dylan, and we have another one in administration on our team. And unfortunately, neither of them could be here today, but we would like to bring in at least one of the interns to come present to you. But this program will fund 50% of those positions for a year, and we have included both the cost of the intern positions and the CDOT revenue within our budget since it's been an ongoing program. The value for us is about $37,000 if we're able to fill those and keep them full-time each year. We do work around our intern schedules. We have a pretty specific list of items that we are targeting that they learn that we submit with the state and partner with them on. And it's just been really successful. We've had some great people in and out, and we've even had some interns kind of circle back through some of our engineering and other contracts that we've had too. So it's been fun to see those faces going into aviation and seeing them come back around.
Really, really neat program. Any questions?
About how many hours a week do they work?
It depends on their schedule. We do have a couple that are working 40 hours a week, but Berlin in our office, she's been closer to that 20 hours a week, just depending on their schedule. We have tried to get interns that are a little bit younger. I know before we were trying to hire maybe a junior so we could keep them for a couple of seasons and really give them a little bit more of a taste of everything instead of trying to teach them for, you know, a summer or a semester. But it really just varies their schedule.
Mm-hmm. By younger, we mean younger in their education journey.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't discriminate based on age or any other factors.
No,
it's
really
nice.
Well, I appreciate that these are paid internships. Mm-hmm. I come from back in the 1900s, we weren't always paid.
That's so true. There's a lot of value to that. An incentive for them to also show up. So, that's a win. Any other questions? Great. I will take a motion to resolution 2025-005.
I'll do that for you. I move to adopt resolution 2025-005 to accept the grant from the Colorado Division of Aeronautics for internship positions at the airport.
Second.
Thank you. All right, this is a roll call vote. So, mm-hmm. Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Commissioner Kennedy?
Yes.
Commissioner Kleiman?
Yes.
Commissioner West?
Yes.
Commissioner Scheer?
Yes.
Commissioner Schrader?
Yes.
And the chair votes in favor as well. Thank you for that. All right, we are on to our discussion for the terminal concept design update. That's why you're here, Rebecca. Thank you for being here for all of it. We had a really, really fun discussion yesterday and on the visioning committee, and Thaddeus and I got to sneak peek some of what you all are going to hear about today, and this team is phenomenal. Top to bottom, we're so lucky to have you guys, so take it away.
Thank you. We're really excited to be here and bring an update on the concept design for terminal expansion. Next slide shows, I brought this slide before, but I think it's really important to understand why we're doing this and where it is in the whole process. So the airport development plan led by Intervistas gave us the foundation to start this. The next slide shows the forecasted enplanements for the airport. And so we use that year 2041 as our target. So we are analyzing analyzing how the airport can grow to meet the forecasted design for 2041. The next slide just shows it also broke that information down per area of the airport and gave us a baseline programmatic starting point for what the different needs are for that timeline. And then the ADP also provided diagrams like this that show conceptual boxes of where the airport might expand and in what phases. So then we entered concept design. And this, the purpose of this is to get the airport to a point of terminal expansion, meeting the needs of today. But we're really determining what is inside those boxes and what those boxes look like and what phase they should grow. And so we are bringing all of the players to the table for this. So we have all of our consultants on board, civil, mechanical, baggage handling. So we're looking at it from a holistic point of view. And then we've been working with the airport and Lindy and Thaddeus to see what it should look like aesthetically, what the forms should be, the materiality, and get it to that first milestone of design that we can get a cost estimate for. And then from there, the next phase will be the actual design and construction of phase, the first phase of expansion. So looking at the airport terminal today, we realized that this needed to be broken into two major concepts. The first phase, phase one, which the next slide shows, will be an expansion to the west of the terminal building. And it's really, the goal of this phase is to meet the needs of today. And those highest needs are more gate lounge space or hold room space, and clarification of wayfinding for both arriving and departing passengers. We've already talked about that today. A redo of the outbound baggage system, and then general support operations and a loading dock. The next phase, which we're calling concourse build-out, is looking at how the airport can meet that 2041 forecasted enplanements in more of a kind of ideal concourse airport layout, looking at focusing on the passenger experience, efficient operations, and then also the flexibility for that to grow into the future beyond that. So both of these phases have really fantastic views that we get to capitalize on. So the concourse build-out to the north, of course, looks out at the amazing book cliffs. It's a spectacular asset that we are thrilled to embrace and highlight through this. And then phase one has a unique opportunity to focus the arriving passengers specifically to the Colorado National Monument. And this angle, we worked through very specific view angles, looks directly out where the Independence Monument. And because phase one might live for some chunk of time before the concourse expansion, we know it needs to fit into the existing language of the airport. So the goal with that one is really to stitch it into the existing and make it feel very compatible. And then the concourse build out is an evolution of that, where we're looking at the existing forms, the existing cladding, and then the remarkable landscapes for inspiration as well. This was part of our visioning package we did last year. So we developed conceptual look and feel, some color palettes. The next slide has material palettes. Previously it was very interior focused, but we're also bringing in the exterior materials as well. And then concept design. So the next slide, I think it's just important to note the difference between phase one and the concourse build out. So phase one has an extra level of development because we're getting a cost estimate associated with it. So it's our understanding of what that next phase might be to meet the immediate needs that the airport has today. The concourse build-out purpose is to make sure that anything we do today is in the right direction and is compatible, and that we don't do anything that causes wasted money or redo into the future. But that effort won't be cost estimated. That is kind of future looking to make sure what we do today. So phase one, this is the existing airport today, and what we add phase one on.
Oh, I love that you have this. This is what I didn't get to see on the Zoom call yesterday.
All right, so this is the existing airport, and phase one just sleeves right into this corner. So we're looking to correct the 45, which is very difficult to build around. And then there's this one moment right here that's a very mirrored form from the existing sawtooths, and this is that form that looks out to the Colorado National Monument. And I'll go through the floor plans in a minute, but The goal of this is really to separate the arriving and departing passengers into two very different flows. So the wayfinding will be super clear, and it'll relieve the congestion on the windows. So from the curbside approach, you can see that it's going to be new. There's no way to match the existing cladding because it's so weathered and patinaed over time. But we can use that same Corten steel and then start to have a new kind of language of articulation and detailing that will inform phase one and the future. From the inside, this is that view to the Colorado National Monument that you can experience kind of perpendicularly as you arrive in a new arrivals lobby.
Rebecca, you can't see what I can see, but lots of heads are nodding and excitement.
I'm going to go through these floor plans really quickly, but you guys will have this package, and I'm happy to answer questions afterwards. High level, the color coding here, the pink is additional space, added area, the blue is renovated existing space, and then there's two tones. The lighter tone just implies a very front of house public space, the darker tone is back of house space. So this phase one addition that we added on is primarily for a meet-and-greeter lobby capturing all the arriving passengers, and then they can either access the curbside rental car lot or swing back into the baggage claim or rental car as needed. The major blue area is a complete renovation of the outbound baggage system and airline support area. We'll be moving the ticketing counters back a little bit, which gets a little additional queuing space. And then that center core of circulation will only be for departing passengers. So potentially looking at relocating that down escalator to be adjacent to the other up one, make two up escalators, adding another elevator for redundancy. So departing passengers have two escalators, two elevators. Arriving passengers that get pulled to the west also have two down escalators, two elevators. And then level two shows the primary purpose of this addition is extra hold room space or gate lounge space.
Thank you.
So all of this area here is adding space. This is a little bit of an overflow space, relocating the gift shop so that there's less congestion in as people are coming out of security, and then removing the current departures lane or for arriving here gives a little more space to security as well. So anyone arriving, current operations, the gates all remain the same, but they get pulled through. These are those automatic exit lane technology, so you don't have to have a staff TSA agent there. And then into that new lobby with that great view as you come down into a dedicated meter for your lobby. Next slide.
Rebecca, would you mind if we just pause real quick to take questions?
Yes, I think sure.
Does someone have a question? Okay, wonderful. I thought I heard it.
Okay. So then looking at the full, just one more note. Part of this phase one, we have an airport maintenance facility planned into that to get a cost estimate. We're pulling some area out of the existing terminal and kind of consolidating areas that are spread out throughout the airport to have their own dedicated pre-engineered metal building on site.
Basically for fleet and maintenance team.
So once the concourse gets added on at some point in the future, the addition that was done in 2004 will be removed, and this will add on here. And the goal of this is to create the kind of ideal concourse operations that are really efficient and great passenger experience. The form of it is taking off of the existing sawtooth and creating a repeatable sawtooth form the length of it, and then there's a moment in the middle that kind of projects out further to the airside and could be more glazing. That's this really celebrated moment that we call the living room, but it would be your moment of concessions, bar. We think it's going to be a spectacular view, especially since this is coming up to a third level, a full level above the apron. And this was a big decision point, but there's so much operational advantage to going to a third level, because you can build out whatever you need to on the apron level to support the concourse. So mechanical, electrical, it could be airline space, it could be office space, but you could also allow the tugs to run underneath there so you're not cutting off the operations of the tugs. And then you have other advantages of having trash chutes and concessions deliveries. There's so many advantages to having that third level, which means you do have to get the passengers up a whole other level. So there's another set of escalators and elevators in that connector, and then you come up into this.
I feel like you and Ben are souls. Yeah. And he was like, oh, more escalators.
Okay, well, thank goodness.
But there's redundancy.
Yes. There is redundancy. And one of the advantages is your bag's probably going to be there by the time you get down the bag claim, so it'll be a life short wait. So this is that great moment once you come up to those escalators. Again, that view is just spectacular. We even think you could get an outdoor patio built in to this space and be able to go outside and capture those views. And then this is your more traditional hold room setup, where you have a 30-foot deep hold room, you have 20 feet of circulation, and then we have another 20 feet of support space to the south. And that's your kitchen, your restrooms, your mechanical, and your support space. And that we're providing with a flat roof just for ease of access to the roof and all of the clear story windows that are creating this soft. This is a section cut all the way through the building. So kind of if you're cutting all the way through the building from this moment down and then looking that way, and the next slide has some diagrams on it. So as an arriving passenger, you get off a boarding bridge, and then you would come down the escalators through the exit technology into this new lobby. And then you have these two moments on either end with these great views. Departing passengers would be going through the existing terminal and then at this moment going up that second set of escalators. We have a couple moments of volume. We have a lot of wall area that can be thought of for art and graphics being integrated in the building.
What's the approximate change? You know, how much longer does someone have to walk to get to the gate by going to this?
I would have to do the math.
You know how many feet it is, or
how much further of the lollipop does the living room extend?
It's not much. It's only a couple of feet. So yeah. The extension into the air is the same as the lollipop.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then the whole length of it is about 450 feet long. So depending on which gate you're leaving from,
I think just saying that it doesn't extend much more than the current.
Yeah.
Gives you really good context for that.
Yes, because it looks a lot bigger.
Yeah, right.
But of course, once you get to that, you may have a tee off one direction or the other to get your gate. But,
yeah,
but
exactly.
Still.
So you're coming up
but
almost in the middle,
yeah.
And then this configuration can grow modularly to the east or the west as you tack on additional hold rooms.
Great.
So the floor plans for this phase, the level one actually has almost no impact. We're doing that all in phase one. The only thing we're showing is an extra baggage screening device to handle the load increase we anticipate from them. And then level two, the existing terminal is really about getting people through it and up to the concourse. So what's nice about the configuration for arriving passengers, when you go down this, it's a straight shot. And even though this window is at that 45 degrees to get the view, it's still the ending moment. So you'll still have blazing and daylight as the end of that long arrivals path. And then departing passengers, there's enough space to expand for a third security checkpoint lane, and then they just get funneled back up to there. The remainder of that area, the dark blue, can be used for storage, offices, and TSA space. So thinking about the TSA space that's leased on level three today, that could move down to level two, and then level three can be expansion for the airport admin and conference space.
So the TSA lease space is on the other side of this one.
So the level three concourse, again, this is a hypothetical design, knowing this is very far in the future, but it's following very standard industry metrics for how this would be laid out. You have the hold rooms, the concourse circulation, support space to the back, and then in this phase, you can have the end hold rooms kind of wrap that whole 70-foot depth, and then as you expand, that would be given back to service support space, and you can kind of expand that module as you get east to west. And then in the site plan, this is providing five contact gates, so five gates with passenger boarding bridges. It provides three remain overnight spots, then it would require a relocation slash expansion to the de-ice pad. And then we hit these parameters where when you need to grow past that, it will either trigger relocation of cargo or the de-ice pad will start to list. I think that is it. Happy to answer any other questions.
None? No questions.
Just very exciting.
I don't know if you heard Commissioner Rose, but he's like, let's get started.
I want to recognize the involvement that Lindy and Thaddeus have had on this. Like, we would not have this without them.
Oh, yeah. That's
100%. I mean,
we just asked a lot of questions.
Rebecca and her team have done a great job. They also were dealt a great hand in having these two on the committee. So,
absolutely.
I just want to recognize that and thank staff for their input. I mean, Ben in particular gave just countless little nuggets of information to inform design changes that make it so much more efficient operationally. And you know the architects designed this because, again, the roof still slopes towards the windows. The engineers didn't do that. But it's fine. It works in the rest of the building, too. It's absolutely beautiful.
That's amazing that you mentioned that. You guys solve for a million things, and we're so wonderful to work with as we just continue to throw out things like, what about heat? What about, you know, the glazing with our west sun? What about the view shed? Can you really solve for, they moved windows 45 degree angles, they are talking about specialty glazing so we don't get, you know, eyes, you know, our eyes just blasted with sun and that east sun. They've just thought of everything, but they were so gracious to entertain a lot of questions. Anything to add?
No, and the effort isn't done. I mean, we're still solving for how to get passengers to and from the remain overnight aircraft. And we have a very elegant solution right now where folks, it feels natural to just walk right towards that door if you're the last plane in, and then it's easy for us to get people back onto the planes. But with a much bigger terminal, that walk then becomes quite a thing, and so we're trying to figure out, is there another wall in the way so that it does feel like this exterior corridor that you just cruise out first thing in the morning? And so it's not done, but with their guidance, I feel like it's more like wrangling cats instead of
that. Agreed.
Yeah. Anyway, it's been a really, really positive effort so far.
Yeah, and I just have to compliment Thaddeus because he's a pilot, so he asks questions that I just think wouldn't be thought of otherwise. So I appreciate that very much. So, anything else on that? Timing?
I just want to make sure the board knows exactly like timing next steps. So this conceptual design, it gives us, it takes, the planning drawings and boxes that, perfectly correspond to the aircraft envelopes outside, turns it into, plans for a building. The next step is, Rebecca mentioned that the tail end of this conceptual design is them coming up with cost estimates for phase one, so the first piece you put on there. Once you have cost estimates, then we need to figure out how we fund it. Our hope is that we can, use the rest of this year to figure out how we fund it, that, the most ambitious schedule is that design could take place in 2026 and construction 2027. That's the most ambitious. But once we get cost numbers, my guess is we might be tinkering some with the conceptual design because this is what we would like if cost is no option. But we were at a place where we were really excited collectively as a committee to come before the board and give you an update and share that. But this is going to quickly turn into how do we take this idea and turn it into a project.
Yeah.
And happy to report, Sarah's already working on that even without numbers, finance guesses on what those blocks might cost. But we're just so excited to be doing this.
Wonderful. Are you comfortable if we just roll into your update?
Yep, and I'll be really fast. Sarah has a quick finance report. But I wanted to, I don't have slides this month because I just need to be too fast for that, but I'm happy to report that last month, Delta, their load factors went over 70% for the first time. So again, we saw another, 5% or so increase. The Delta SkyWest team operating that Delta service is reporting that numbers look better and better as they look in the future. Las Vegas looked better in a similar way, and I met with Freeze last month, and they were really happy with us. They said things are going great, and they shared that they intend to fly Orange County year-round and not take a break next winter, and that is reflected in their current schedules. So, you know, should demand be too low for them to justify that, they, of course, have that flexibility to remove that from schedules, but right now it's in schedules and they plan to keep it there. They're really happy with how it's performing. So wanted to report that. I already talked about the terminal project overview that I wanted to give you. But something that I didn't talk about, and I guess I do have one slide, is Tailwind, our concession. So we have one concession who runs all of our concessions. They also have that coffee bar that's landside. They struggle to staff that. It really isn't busy. It's not in the right spot. It's just not the right amenity. And so we've been working with them on a solution that will allow them to free up some staff to better serve their concessions post-security where it's needed, and also provide a better product. And they will be implementing these high-end vending machines, basically. So what you see here, it's still all vending type of food. They actually will be, they're going to put fresh foods in there that get cycled out. And they're high-tech machines that you've seen at other airports and in other locations where, you know, it's based on weight that you take out. So almost like a giant mini bar from a hotel room is how I think of it in my little brain. But also will have a coffee machine there that can make lattes, those types of things. And in doing this work combined with the work that we've been doing with the Kensler team, we identified the opportunity that we could relocate. And actually, will you skip to a slide that has this layout, Sarah, of the first floor, so we can just show them where we're planning to relocate it. That's where it currently is. We need to free that up for future baggage claim. It's not an immediate need, but frankly, that corner, to quote my friend Dylan, that corner doesn't attract great activity. So we'd like to free up that and clean up that corner. It's a little too private back there. And instead, we relocate this vending to the orange area, the orangish red area, where we think the permanent location for landside or pre-security amenities are. Pre-security amenities concessions just don't do well in airports post 9/11 because everyone wants to get through the checkpoint before they spend any of their free time. But it does play an important role with meet and greeters, and that's really where we want to be directing meet and greeters to hang out. So we think that this, it's just in time for us to just get water over there and set that up. When all we were doing is replacing the vending machine, it fit in neatly into our existing lease. We might want to clean up the lease with this, so we may be coming to the board in May to ratify this, but I did want to give you an update and check in to make sure if you had any big concerns with it, we could pump the brakes. Any concerns?
I think it's a great amenity, and I just love that meter greeter space, that you can actually see it in that space at the bottom of the arriving escalator, so it just played together so beautifully.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, on the side room, too, I will mention that right now, you may actually see a lot of people sitting in the chairs down next to the escalator there.
Yeah.
Right now, it's not mostly meet and greeters. It's actually because we've been hosting the TSA pre-check office here at the airport at that black desk at the bottom of the stairs the escalator. It has gone so well having that on airport. We really want to make that more permanent. So Cameron is working with the TSA contractor on an alternative location. We actually intend to put them at the first ticket counter. Can you show them, Sarah? Which is vacant. First ticket counter. So we're going to put TSA PreCheck over there, relocate them, because we want to take out that black desk that typically isn't manned. It kind of looks like a customer service desk, and it's not, and so I think it's confusing. And we also think that that's a unique opportunity to have to really welcome visitors in a dynamic way. And so we've been looking at digital walls to put there. We've been working with the Sports Commission and, you know, intend to work with the Sports Commission on this, who can then work with all entities locally, including Visit Grand Junction and all of those, to really have this dynamic welcome. I mean, the moment, an example of a moment that we're trying to recreate is there's an event called a Girl with a Gun that Sports Commission hosts, and it's this huge shooting championship out at Cameo. And last year, when we were hosting, Sports Commission paid us to put on our internal advertisements, like, welcome Girl with a Gun. Mm-hmm. And they felt so special. And so it just really confirmed for us our suspicion that, you know, those moments are unique and can really make a difference here. And so we want to expand on that. And so the vision is really to be able to welcome people, you know, during CMU graduation, you know, mm-hmm. be featuring that, during JUCO be featuring that, you know, have a calendar of local events, presumably like a direct stream from Visit Grand Junction type of situation where people can go and do that. Have a charging bar, if you will, where it's just, you're gonna stand there, but you, I think all of us have been there where you get off the plane, your phone's in, you just need to charge it really fast because you're on a CRJ 200. So long story short, we really want to, we're reimagining all of that space, and so this fits in, and I wanted to give the board that update.
That's great. You just got us right back on time. Thank you. Sarah, do you mind?
Yeah, absolutely. So I just have a couple slides for you today, and I'm sorry, this is a little bit smaller than I had intended, but I wanted to break out a little bit more detail than, you know, we've just kind of had total revenues, total expenses these last couple months. Year-to-date through February, you know, still really close in, but we're within 2% of our budget in total in operating revenues, though there is a shift where that's coming from. We've had a little bit fewer seats, but a higher load factor than what we expected. So we do have a little bit less in our airline revenues. And then in non-airline revenues, we've seen some noise, and we've seen this before with fuel flowage fees and our non-passenger landing revenues, which is really mostly cargo and fire. Some of that really, and a lot of that in the explanations you'll see, is some of them have some seasonality to them or just some variability that's difficult to predict. So we've kind of spread those evenly in sort of that straight line approach throughout the year. But what's really happening is we're just in a lower dip right now. The fuel flowage fees, really the biggest change there was military. Their flowage was down almost 70% year over year from February. But in talking with Westar, that's not unusual for them. It just depends on when they're scheduled. And they did just secure that new 5-year contract. So we anticipate that that will level out throughout the year. It's just so early on. It's just, there's more volatility in some of those numbers. We were really excited to see, though, that non-aeronautical revenue, parking revenue is up significantly, even though rental cars is down. And again, I think that really has to do with just the timing and how we budgeted those revenue streams to be equal, but they really do vary depending on the type of passenger and the season that we're in, if it's more visitor versus more local traffic. So it's an improvement we'd like to look at for 2026 budget to maybe try and better predict some of that seasonality, but some of it really is just volatile and difficult to expect. In operating expenses, we're still 15% under budget, but I do anticipate this will catch up. We've been under in personnel as we had a few openings, but we are filled up now and in a really good spot with personnel, so I anticipate that we will be getting closer and closer to budget on that line item.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, thank you. And then one other thing I just really wanted to point out in the packet, I know a question came up just with one of the commissioners, but in non-operating in the projects, this is another one. Again, the timing of when we're going to do that project has been just so difficult to predict. Do we put it evenly throughout the year? Do we budget it all in one area or another? So what we've done and taken the approach is we've budgeted everything to hit in January, even though we know that's not true. But now when you see our variance to budget, we've spent 91% remaining. So we've spent about 9% of our annual project budget. We will ramp that up in the summer, but we've actually had a lot more winter work that we've been able to do with the dirt work that we haven't always had in construction season, just depending on the type of projects we're doing. So a lot of times that is much more heavy in the summer season. But just in case, I know that looks weird, especially in January, and I didn't give my report then, I wanted to call that out because we don't really know when they're going to happen, but that is just a representation of what's remaining. And then balance sheet, we really only included the current assets and liabilities. We're still working through all of our year-end closeout for depreciation expense, capital assets. Travis and Jennifer have been working hard, so we're preparing for audit coming up. So the most accurate and updated numbers really are these current assets and liabilities. We did have a pretty large increase in current assets, $1.5 million from January to February, as we collected a lot of those grant receivables that were outstanding. And then the timing of the contractor invoices of when we're paid versus when we're getting that cash in. So that's really what's causing a lot of that variance. Really strong current ratio, which is really that measurement of how many times we can pay for what's due within a year with what we already have in assets, in liquid assets. And our cash on hand, I did update this, so your number for days cash on hand for January looks a little different because I went ahead and reflected our 2025 operating expense budget. So that adjusted just slightly, but we still have over 3 years of unrestricted cash on hand. So trying to figure out how to best use that with all these projects coming up and cash flowing all that out.
Thank you. Thanks for that current ratio. That's the one I like.
Yeah. It's a good explanation and reminder of what it means.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anyone had any other questions for me from the packet, but I think that's all I have for. I did want to call out too, actually, I know we have historically presented our payments over $100,000 in a slide. We've made that choice to go ahead and just include that within your packet, because I know that always feels like kind of an awkward thing to just pop up there. So yeah. We'll include that in the packet going forward as well.
Thank you. Anything else for Sarah? Okay, we need to go into executive session just for 5 minutes. It'll be short, but commissioners need an update. So I just need a motion to go into executive session. And then we'll just take a minute and allow the room to clear up. Thank you all for being here. We appreciate your support very, very much. And then we'll just go in and adjourn after that. So can I get a motion to go into executive session,
so
please? Oh, I think you need, I think you have to read it. Sorry, I'm going to be Dan.
You ready for a motion?
Yeah.
I move to executive session for the purpose of considering personnel matters as authorized by Colorado Revised Statute Section 24.6.402.4F, specifically including compensation of the executive director.
Thank you, Cody.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Great.
Lindy, I have a 115 that I'm sharing. Is this going to be really quick? Or
very quick.
Okay.